Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, there's some Jack up here tonight. Glory to God. I'm just going to get into that. Amen. Praise God. Say, I thought you were Pastor Jeff, not Pastor Jack. Well, tonight I'll be Pastor Jack. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm Pastor Jeff. Welcome to Family Church. We're excited for the word around here. We're excited for what God's doing. Amen. Because he's doing great and wonderful things. Amen. I love those songs. I love the songs that we sing. And, we pick the songs on purpose. We don't just do whatever is on Christian Top 40. Amen. We don't just, what's the new popular song coming up? A lot of our songs are actually not new at all. They're old. And there's a reason for that. And it's because we pick songs that are faith songs, amen. And as we were worshiping God, this came to me that godly music should stir faith. Amen. Like if you're sitting in church and you're not hearing songs that's stirring your faith and stirring you up towards the things of God, man, something's wrong. Hallelujah. The Bible says that in Hebrews 11:6, it says that without faith it is impossible to please him. It says it is impossible to please him without faith. So anything that is not stirring faith in us is impossibly pleasing him. Impossible. It's not pleasing him. Amen. It's impossible for it to please him. Now we can please man. We can please our neighbor. We can please our friends. We can please our pastors. We can please our bosses. But how many know that the only one that really matters you please is Jesus? Doesn't matter what's going on in your life. You want to be pleasing Jesus. Amen. And without faith, it's impossible. So we might as well just stir that faith in us. Amen. We might as well grab hold of that faith and run with it. Amen. Because there's good things that come out of faith. Amen. In fact, all things we get from God, we get through faith. Hallelujah. Some people say, well, I don't know if that's fair or not or whatever. You can think whatever you want, but that's the way that it works. Amen. Yeah. Through faith. Hallelujah. Yeah. Through faith, they obtained a good testimony. Through faith, we will obtain a good testimony. Yeah. Through faith, you will obtain healing. Yeah. Through faith, you will obtain provision. Through faith, you will obtain a greater level of consecration. Through faith, you will obtain a greater level of deeper level with God. Amen. Through faith, you will have a better relationship with him than you ever have. Through faith you shall walk, because the just shall live by faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's some people who don't like faith. Amen. They don't like the faith message. Glory to God. And that's because the faith message puts your feet to the fire. Amen. It kind of pushes you up against the edge and makes you have to do something. Amen. And people don't like that you have to do something, because we want to believe that just God just does everything that he wants to do. But we know that that ain't the truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm not preaching about all that tonight, but it seemed good. Amen. To get in that anyway. But tonight's message is called, Why Would God Provide? Hallelujah. Why would God provide? I love getting into conversations about the Lord, because even if somebody else isn't necessarily liking it or loving it, how many know if you get in a conversation with God that you can get into good things? Amen. If you're hungry for the Lord, he'll always speak to you. He'll speak to you in everyday conversation. He'll speak to you in everyday just random things that you do. Amen. And that's how this message was born. I'm just so thankful for the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad that we got to learn how to follow the Holy Spirit and hear from the Holy Spirit, because God, why would it make sense that God, this is the only time in history that God doesn't want to speak to his people? I don't know why people would want to believe that, but God speaks to me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I hope he speaks to you. In fact, I know he's speaking to you, but we need to listen to him. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Many people do not understand why God would want to provide anything for them. And that is because they do not understand who God is. Amen. See, one of the greatest struggles I see in Christianity, one of the greatest struggles that I see coming out of the people of faith, is that they question constantly, will God provide this or that? Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. I mean, today we're speaking specifically about material things. Amen. Yeah. I said, today we're going to talk about material things. Would God really care that we have nice things? I find more and more as I go on that I was telling my wife on the way down here, we were talking about something that's been on my heart to get for myself, praise the Lord. I don't just go around trying to always get stuff for myself, but everybody has desires, correct? Yeah. Amen. And so I was having a desire for something, and I was telling my wife, I was like, it's God, because these are things that I've never even, in my past life, I didn't desire at all. In fact, I despise these things, but they're nice things, and God has stirred those things up in me. Amen. And some people think, well, would God want you to even have nice things? Absolutely, He wants you to have nice things. God is not opposed to people having nice things. He is opposed to His people being covetous. So if you're sitting around thinking about how you can get nice things all the time, well, then you got to check your heart. Amen. And though I'm not just talking about getting stuff tonight, that's not what the purpose of this is. We have to understand that God does want to provide for us. He wants to provide for us very well. He wants us to live good. He doesn't want you starving, figuring out how you're going to make ends meet or get your next meal. God wants you full. Amen. Fullness, praise the Lord, comes from God. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it shall be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." Amen. That sounds like full to me. It doesn't sound like lack. Well, God's the one that came up with it. He didn't have to say that. He didn't have to come up with Luke 6:38 or any of the other scriptures. The Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow to it." God didn't have to say that. He didn't have to say that his blessing will make you rich. Praise the Lord. Now, people try to make it all kinds of different things, but if we just stick to the Word and we read the Word for what it is and we understand what God's talking about. Rich isn't a bad thing. Amen. Now, rich, we have to understand, doesn't necessarily always mean what we think it does, but God has a definition of rich. But I'm going to tell you something, that it's, but God's definition of rich is a lot different than your definition of rich, but it's also a lot better than your definition of rich. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so, you know, people get mad at this kind of teaching all the time. They'll get mad about the provision of God and, you know, stuff like that, or the prosperity message. And although I'm not here to preach a prosperity message that God just wants to make you a millionaire and that he wants you to drive a Lamborghini and he wants you to just have so much money you can't stand it. Praise the Lord. I'm not preaching that message, but I am preaching some balance here tonight, and we're going to see about the provision of God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Many do not understand why God would want to provide. And that is because they do not understand who God is. I know I said that, but I wanted to say it again, because this is a hang up that a lot of people don't have. See, the Bible says, "Do not be unwise, but know what the will of the Lord is." And if the Bible tells us to know what the will of the Lord is, what does that mean? It means that we can know what the will of the Lord is. We ain't got to seek somebody out to find it. That God will show us. He has revealed to us in His Word what His will specifically is. People who don't know what God's will is are people who don't spend any time in His Word. If you get in time, the more time I spend with God, praise the Lord, the nicer I want all things to be. I'm not just talking about like nice materially. I'm talking about I want a nicer life. Amen. I want a happier life, more peace, more joy. I want to order things in my life. You know what I mean? You know what I mean by order things in my life? I don't want things all in chaos all the time. I want rest. I want peace. I want joy. I want the things, the fruits of the Spirit. I want them operating in my life. Why? Because the more time you spend with God, the more like God you're going to be. Amen. I said, the more time you spend with God, the more you're like God you're going to be. And the more time you spend with God and His Word, the more you're going to see this. Amen. And you will desire nicer things. You will desire better things. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God wants to provide for us, but we have to change our mindset. We have to understand that when we go to God in prayer, we aren't just seeking if He'll answer us. We need to go to God in prayer understanding that He's waiting to answer us. He's waiting to hear from us so He can answer. Do you know this? If you don't ask a question, you can't get answered. It just came to me, but I'm gonna say that again. If you don't ask a question, you can't get answered. In other words, if you ain't seeking something, you ain't gonna find. Why? Because you're not seeking. The Bible says seek and you'll find. Yeah. What does that mean? It means you have to go looking for it. Look for the blessing of God. We need to look for the provision of God. And I'm not saying we need to spend all our time in it. And actually, quite the opposite today. The balance of today's message is really that we shouldn't be stressing about it at all. That our time should be spent looking for God. Amen. Praise the Lord, because He wants to provide for us. But we have to understand that He'll provide for us. And there's a reason that He will provide for us. Amen. And we're going to see that by the end of this message. I believe in you. Praise the Lord. I believe in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And I believe in the gift He put in my life. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Romans 1:28. Why don't we get into some scripture? I know that's what you're waiting for. Amen. Eagerly sitting there on the end of your seats going, "Where's the scripture, Pastor Jeff? Let's get to that scripture." Hallelujah. We want to get to the Word, because we know when we get to the Word, oh my gosh, if we get to the Word, then we know that it's truth. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Romans 1:28. You know, I love it. You know, and one of the things I love about preparing a message is when I'm preparing a message, and I always go to a place, I always, at some point when I'm preparing a message, if I can, if time allows, I try to always rest, take a nap or something like that. But almost every single time I do, I wake up at some point during that nap with a scripture coming out of me. I said a scripture coming out of me. Amen. Just like I'm speaking, it's there. Why? Because when you get to that place of rest, God can speak to you. When you calm down, see, that's another reason for provision. When you calm down and just let him work it out, yeah. Praise the Lord, he's going to speak to you. And that's exactly what happens. You get in that place of rest and, oh, glory, hallelujah. And this scripture came out of a place of rest. Amen. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Now we know that this scripture, if we look at it in context, it applies to sexual immorality and stuff like that. But you know, this truth about God is that this is how he is towards humans. And this is really the crux of free will, if I'd say it that way, amen? And we see here, he says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Yeah. And notice they didn't retain God in their knowledge. They didn't retain him. They didn't keep it. What is that saying? They didn't keep the understanding of who God was at the forefront of their mind. They let it slip. They forgot who God was. They forgot what God wanted to do. They forgot what the word said about him. Amen. There's so many Christians that live in this bubble where they've forgotten who God was. They just go to their churches. They do their things because they always did them and they forgot why. You know, I thought about this so many times over the years. You know, I grew up doing things like communion and we knew about things like baptism, but nobody had any idea why we did any of that. Nobody had any idea why. We just knew that it was, you know, it was free bread and juice day at the church. Hallelujah. We didn't know what we were doing. Now, maybe some of the older people did, you know, but I remember it took me years. I think I was in my 30s before I ever learned what communion was actually for. Praise God. Hallelujah. People, by and large, people have no idea what communion is for. We're not going to go into that tonight. So if you don't know, you either ask me later or wait till we do communion. But it's an important thing, you know. But God has reasons for doing things. But the reason I bring this up is sometimes people's religion is based on what they've been doing and not what God said to do. Well, we've just always done it this way. This is the way things are done. So this is the way things are. And see, God isn't like that. God isn't you always did things. Because sometimes the way you always did things were wrong. Yeah. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things I always did through my life that I don't do anymore because they were wrong. Amen. Sometimes the things that we do are wrong. And we have to know according to the word which things are, which things aren't. But even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, look at this. God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Amen. I'm going to look up something here real quick. It says that God gave them over to a debased mind. Praise the Lord. Well, what does that mean exactly? I'm right here before you. I'm even looking that up. Amen. Look at this. It means a debased mind is literally an unapproved, worthless, castaway, rejected, reprobate. Not standing the test, not approved. Praise the Lord. That which does not prove itself such as it ought. God gave them over to a mind that is thinking wrong. Right. See, this is the thing, and this is what we have to understand about God, is that if we want to think wrong, he'll give us over to that. Yeah. Yeah. We can think wrong just because we think wrong. Right. God will let you have the thoughts that you want to have if you insist on having wrong thoughts. Praise the Lord. I said God will let you have wrong thoughts if you insist on having wrong thoughts. So if you constantly think God is the one who that God doesn't provide for you, praise the Lord, then what you're going to live is a life of lack of provision. If you think that God won't bless you, then you will not be blessed. If you think that God won't heal you, you will not be healed. If you think that God won't, he won't. Praise the Lord. Even if he said he would. Why? Because God will give you over to that debased mind, that wrong thinking. Amen? Yeah. To do those things which are not fitting, those things which are not right. So we understand here that this is very clear scripture on how God deals with our minds. We are told, or I should say, deals with the thoughts that we allow ourselves to think. Amen. This is why the Bible always says for us to deal with the thoughts. You know, I'm a person who is, in my life, I had suffered from depression greatly. And one thing I'll tell you about depression that I know is that depression always seeks more depression. Bad thinking always seeks more bad thinking. If you're depressed, you want to be more depressed. You do those things which make you more depressed. Why do you do that? Because it's a bondage of the devil. It gets you in a downward spiral. How do you stop it? There is one way to stop it, by renewing your mind with the Word of God. There's one way to stop it. One way. It's the same thing with addiction. How do people who are addicted, praise the Lord, how do people who are addicted get out of addiction? They have to change their mind. They have to change their mindset. They have to get out of that, and you can only do that through the Word of God. You can't do it just on your own. You will fight, and you won't make it. And the reason that people live in perpetual addictions and depression is because they don't allow themselves to think the way that God wants them to think. God will give you over to that. It's not that God wants you to have it. He's provided the way, but he can't make you take the medicine, in other words. You know what I mean? Have you ever heard of a lot of times it's older gentlemen, they get kind of set in their ways, and you know, I ain't going to the doctor. I don't want to go to the doctor. I don't need to go to that. And you find out sometimes later that they really needed to go to the doctor. You ever heard about that happening before? Praise the Lord. What is that? It's the same thing. Here's their answer. You know, sometimes, and it's not just older gentlemen, sometimes it's older people. I've known people who have gotten into a lot of physical trouble because they didn't get something fixed when it was easy to get fixed. You know, sometimes we'll let something drag out, and instead of just getting it taken care of, we allow it to drag out, and then we're like, well, where's God in all this? Well, I'll tell you where God was. He gave you over to a debased mind. Thinking wrong. God will let you think wrong if you want to think wrong. This is why we have to be insistent on thinking right. We can't, Christians, afford to think wrong. We can't afford to think like we always did. Praise the Lord. We can't afford to think that way. We have to change something. We have to decide, listen, I'm going on with God no matter what. I'm going to believe what the Word says no matter what, because that's the hope. The hope is not in your head. The hope is right there on the pages. It doesn't matter what you're seeing or not seeing. All that matters is what is written in these pages. Amen? Praise the Lord. God gave them over to a debased mind. We don't want to be given over to a debased mind. It's hard to come back from a place of debased mind, debased thinking. It's hard to change that thing. We call it stinking thinking. Amen. We talk about brainwashing people here. We love to brainwash people here. Why do we brainwash people? Because their minds are stinky. And they need to be brainwashed. Amen. They need to get that mind cleaned up because it's thinking wrong. It's not thinking right. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Let's go over to Hebrews 11:6. So we're going to think right about God, right? We're not going to be given over to a debased mind. Everybody say after me. Say, I want my mind to be God's mind. Hallelujah. Amen. You want to think the way God thinks. Hebrews 11:6. Praise God. I quoted this earlier, but we're going to bring it up again. Amen. Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11, great faith chapter. Praise the Lord. This chapter, I love this chapter because this chapter goes through and shows all these major events that happened throughout biblical history, and it says the same thing about every one of them. They all obtained what they were after through faith. Trusting God and believing God. Believing God, saying it's going to happen. Praise the Lord. It was written so we could understand it, so we could get something out of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. It is not possible to please God without faith. Without faith, you cannot please God. And if you're not pleasing to God, you cannot receive from God. Amen. Praise God. Well, you say, well, how is that fair? Well, do you give your enemies all your good stuff? Do you cast your pearls to somebody who tramples all over them? Amen. You don't do that, right? You protect those things which are most precious to you. Jesus, God's Son, was very precious to him. And so that therefore Jesus died for everyone if they want to receive him. That's why the receiving was such a big part of it. They have to receive it. Jesus, could have Jesus have just died for everybody and they automatically be saved? I mean, I don't know if that's possible or not, but that's not the way God wanted it to happen. God said you have to receive Jesus in order to be saved. Amen? It's not by works. It's not by any of these things. You have to receive it, but you receive it through faith. Amen? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Okay, that's pretty good. We're not going to get into that so much today. And that he is a rewarder. This is and. Amen? And is a big part. And means there's two parts to this, and both parts are necessary. So you got to believe in God. You got to believe in who God is. Amen? And, everybody say and. That he is a rewarder. Yeah, go ahead and say it. He is a rewarder. God is a rewarder. He is a rewarder. A reward is not a bad thing. A reward is not something that you don't want. A reward is something that you seek. A reward is something that you're after. A reward is what the end of faith is. Praise the Lord. The end of our faith is a reward. Glory to God. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Those people that do, you know, they're just kind of out there living in the world. Those Christians that kind of half in, half out, kind of go to church once in a while, kind of just, you know, they don't really want to have a lot to do with it. These are people that aren't going to receive from God. People who don't want to serve in the local church, I'm just going to tell you the truth. People who don't serve in the local church are not people who are going to be blessed. Why? Because they're not diligently seeking God. I diligently seek God, and therefore I am always looking for a way to bless God. I'm always looking for a way to bless God's people. I'm always looking for a way to bless God's house. I'm always looking for a way to honor the things that God has placed in my life. Why? Because I diligently seek him. I want God. I want more of God. And I'm not saying that I perfectly diligently seek him. There's a lot of areas in my life that I got to get better at. But what I am saying is that God cannot bless those who are not diligently seeking them. Because if you were in faith, you would be diligently seeking him, because you would understand who God is, how he operates, and what he wants in your life. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, that's pretty good stuff. So we see the character of God here. Amen. We want to retain. Who wants to retain God in their knowledge? Yeah. Right? We want to retain. Well, so what's the first thing that we need to retain? Is the idea that God is a rewarder. Yeah. He is a rewarder. And this is how you please God, by believing that he is a rewarder. I go to God, Lord, you love to bless me. I believe that you're a rewarder. Yeah. God, you love to make my life better. You love to lead me into joy. You love to lead me into still waters. You love to lead me to green pastures. What are still waters and green pastures? They're provision. We all love the 23rd Psalm. We cross-stitch it on doilies and put it on pillows and hang it on the wall and sell all kinds of goofy artwork with Jesus and lambs and the 23rd Psalm all over it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Anybody heard that before? Yeah. The whole psalm is about God's provision. Yeah. It's like, even though you go through a bad place, I'm still providing for you. Because the ultimate end of wherever I'm taking you is always green pastures and still waters. Well, if you don't maybe say, I don't understand what still waters and green pastures are, well, you just go talk to a farmer, amen? Yeah. You ask a farmer, what's green pastures and still waters? It's where they try to put their animals. Yeah. Why? Because that's where their animals are going to be fed. That's where they're going to be watered. That's where they have everything that they need in life to be content, be happy. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you happy if you're not fed? No. I can tell you right now I'm not. Amen. I was this morning. I had to go somewhere with my wife and I. We had a meeting with a friend of ours in Fredonia. We went to tour the Fredonia church. It's getting rebuilt after the fire and stuff. And we went and did that first. And of course, we didn't eat breakfast yet. And afterwards, I'm like, I need to get something to eat in me because I was feeling it. Amen. And we went to the restaurant where we were going. And my friend, as is custom, we always argue about who's going to pay. You know what I mean? We always get up there and we're fighting for each other because that's what good people do. You know, understand that you try to pay. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. But we got up there. We were fighting about what, and I just looked at him. I said, listen, I'm hangry. Like, don't mess with me. I'm paying today. Amen. And I said, I will walk out of here if you try to pay. I told him that. Why? Because I was hangry. Amen. I wasn't happy. I wasn't in still waters. There was no still waters inside me. I needed food in my belly. You understand? I need to bring my sugar level up or something a little bit. Praise God. And so I made it known and he backed down. Hallelujah. But you know what? Why do I say that? Because we know that when you're not provided for, you are not at peace. Right. when you are not provided for, when you don't know how you're going to make ends meet, when you don't know how you're going to live, when you don't know how you're going to pay the bills, when you don't know how you're going to dress your kids or feed your kids, you are not a happy person. You're not happy. You're in worry. Why? I'm talking about without God. You understand what I'm saying? You're in worry. You don't know if it's going to happen. Why do you get that way? Because that is it's a reaction in all of creation to want to be full. Amen. You see, I love watching cows. Not that I watch them a lot, but when I do watch them, I love watching cows. What do? They just eat all the time. Yeah. That's an animal after my own heart. Hallelujah. They just eat. What are they doing? They're just keeping full, yeah. keeping full. Amen. And animals are that way. Of course, we're that way too. We need to be full. God wants us. He made us to be full. Do you notice how animals, they just understand. They don't get depressed about it. They just seem to understand that that's what they need. And it's just going to, they expect it to be there. Amen. They expect provision. They expect it's going to just be there. The Bible tells us to watch the birds. I love watching the birds for just such a reason. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But God wants to provide for us. Amen. Amen. Some people don't believe this. And this is a problem. God will give them over to that debased mind. Yeah. Let me quote a scripture here. Matthew 10:30 says, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." I don't know about you, but the last time I went and got a haircut, I didn't sit there and look at the hair on the floor and think, man, I better put this in a nice box. I better bring this home and save it. Hallelujah. I didn't do that. What do? They swipe it into the garbage and they throw it away. They throw it in gardens. They just get rid of it. Amen. It's a byproduct. So, but the Bible says that God's numbered all those hairs. They mean something to him. See, this is the thing. People are like, well, God provide. Would God care about this little thing in my life? Well, he's got your stinking hairs on your head numbered. Yeah. I would think that if God's got the hairs on your head numbered, that he probably would care about things that are even a little bit more important. Yeah. Why does he have the hairs on our head numbered? Is it because our hairs really mean something? No, they mean something to him, and it shows us something. It tells us something about the way that God looks at us, that God is our provider. Yeah. One of his names in the Old Testament was Jehovah Jireh, meaning God the provider, God our provider. Amen. That's what he called himself. Yeah. I'm God the provider. Yeah. What does that mean? I'm going to provide. Yeah. What is he going to provide? What we need. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory, glory, hallelujah. God wants us full. He wants us provided for. God is not looking at us to be empty. Now, there are seasons of things, of course. There are seasons where there are lack and stuff like that. But what we have to do in those seasons is we have to continue on through the season knowing that the end is coming where we'll be full. Because the problem is where people get into stress in life is they don't think they'll ever get to the end of the season. They don't ever think that provision is ever going to happen. And that's a problem. That's debased thinking, and God will give you over to that thinking. Yeah. Turn with me to Exodus 6. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I was going to say, I hope you're getting some help tonight, but I know you are. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord, because it's the Word, and the Word is good. Hallelujah. What is Exodus 6, verse 7 and 8? It says here, praise the Lord. Therefore, verse 7. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. What was the burdens of the Egyptians? Well, they had Israel in slavery, right? They were enslaved, and they had to be enslaved and forced hard labor and all these things. And what did God say? He said, I'm the Lord that's going to takes you out of all that. Amen? Notice that I'm the Lord who brings you. I'm the Lord your God who brings you. Not just brought you. I'm the one who brings you. Hallelujah. Where are you at in life? God's bringing you somewhere else. He's the one that always brings us. It's always now. Hallelujah. Wherever you're at, no matter what you're going through, God wants you to see the other side. He's the one that brings you out. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. Yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He swore by his own name. He said, I'm God. This is what I do. This is how I am. I take you through to the other side. I fill you. I provide for you. I always cause you to prosper. Always. Always do. God isn't looking for ways to make you poor. He's looking for ways to make you prosper. Amen. Glory to God. He's always thinking about that. And see, this is something we have to understand. I love in verse 7 there. He says, I will take you as my people and I will be your God. Yes. And then this is what it means afterwards. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And Christian, you're sitting there worrying about things in life. You're sitting there troubled about the things that you don't think that you have. See, there's a reason that God has said all these things, and we're going to see it several times. There's a reason that God promised us all these things. Because praise God. I don't want to get to the end before we get through the beginning. Amen? Glory to God. Turn with me to Genesis 17. Hallelujah. Genesis 17. The word is good. Genesis 17, verse 1. Hallelujah. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. Hallelujah. What is he saying? Walk before me. Praise the Lord. In God's presence, understanding that you're in God's presence. Walk as you would be walking if Jesus walked into the room right now. Yeah. Hallelujah. This is how we are to live, right, as Christians. And be blameless. Don't be doing things. In other words, don't be sinning. Don't be out there living in sin. Don't be out there trying to live the opposite of what God wants you to live. Find out how God wants you to live. Walk before him and be blameless. Yeah. Blameless. Amen. Now there's a reason he told Abram to do that. Praise God. And guess what? You will find out about Abram if you go back to Hebrews 11 and read about him. Because you'll read about him and there to talk about what he got. Amen? Yeah. And look at what it says here. He says, and I will make my covenant between me and you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And will multiply you exceedingly. Yeah. Is there anybody else in here who has a covenant with the Lord?
Yeah.
The Almighty God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Was Abraham the only one that had a covenant with God? No, he wasn't. We have, the Bible says that we have a better covenant based on better promises. Hallelujah. So if we walk before the Lord, as Abraham was told to walk before the Lord, I would imagine that the same promise applies to us, does it not?
Amen.
Walk before me and be blameless. Amen. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. That sounds a little bit like what Jesus said in John 10:10,
yes.
Right? Yes. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Amen? Abundantly, exceedingly are very, and actually one scripture in Ephesians says exceedingly abundantly.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So we'll get the best of both worlds. Amen? I don't know. I don't know what the difference between exceeding and abundant is, but we got both.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter. Just know it's good. Amen? Hallelujah. Then Abram fell on his face. God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Is there anybody here that has any idea that they are part of the Abrahamic blessing? You are in those nations, amen? You are part of the children of those nations, amen? I will make you exceedingly fruitful. And I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Hallelujah. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations. You shall keep it. Praise the Lord. And so we understand that our connection to God is based on what we keep, what we decide to retain. Hallelujah. Do we retain God in our knowledge? Have we retained this knowledge of God? See, this is a problem. Is a lot of Christians, they disconnect themselves from these scriptures right here, and they don't realize that this scripture was written for you or the generations after him. Yeah, you aren't Abraham. You aren't a direct descendant of Abraham. But the blessing of Abraham was meant to come. Jesus brought the blessing of Abraham onto the Gentiles. He brought it to us, those who did not know God, those who were not part of God. Jesus brought that. He bridged that gap so we could be part of that. We are the nation of God. Hallelujah. I don't mean as a nation. It is a godly nation. I believe that. But I mean we are the nation of God. We are part of God. We in God has promised that he's going to provide for us. He has promised that he was always going to provide for us. It's important that we get that in our thick skulls. We need to know God is my provision. God loves to bless me. He loves to increase me. He likes it when I look good. He likes it when I smell good. He likes it when I drive nice things. He likes it when I live in a nice house. He likes it when I feel blessed where I live. He likes it when I feel blessed at the job I go to. He likes it when I feel blessed in the life that I live. Glory to God, because that is what a good father does. Now, we have some parents here, and if you're not a parent, you can imagine being a parent. But if you're not a parent and you imagine being a parent, or if you're a parent, think about this. Would you want your kids to be in worse shape than you are? Would you want your kids to have less than you do? No. Why? Because you're a good parent, or you would be a good parent, right? You want to love your kids. You want to provide for them everything you can. The Bible calls our love against God's love, it calls it evil. Praise the Lord. It's evil in comparison. Praise God. So why would we not believe in God's provision? Why would we not believe that God wants to provide for us? Right. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to say something here, and this is a reason that we have to understand this and why it's so important. See, a lot of people, they'll take the prosperity message and they get extreme with it, and then others will rail against it because they think, oh, they're just preaching about money, money. That is not why we're preaching the prosperity message. What we're going to see here tonight is that the reason that God wants us to know that we will be provided for is so we stop spending so much time looking for money and we start spending time looking for Him. See, so many people are praying to God for stuff. They're always looking to God for things. Answer this thing and answer that thing. And God says, just seek me and I'll provide it all. Just come to me. Just believe in who I am. Just say out of your mouth what my word says about me. Believe in your covenant. Believe in what I created you to be and see if I won't give you everything. Stop looking at all the natural things and start looking for the supernatural. Hallelujah. This is why God needs us to understand this. See, provision isn't just something that we need to believe so we can just be happy that we're provided for. Provision is something we need to believe so we can stop focusing on the provision and start focusing on the provider. We need to understand that God will come through. He wants us to be in something. You know, the things the Bible says, the eye has not seen nor ear heard the things which God has for us. Eye has not seen or the ear heard with the things that God has for us, but the Bible says that He has revealed it to us through His Holy Spirit. He put His Holy Spirit on the inside of Christians, and today Christians still cannot believe that God wants to provide a stinking thing for them. They still can't believe that God wants them to have something nice. Oh, I don't know if God will. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be real bold about something. If there's something that really tickles your fancy, praise the Lord. You know what that means? Something that you look at and you just say, ooh, I like that. Yeah. God doesn't care if you have that. Right. In fact, God wants you to have that. Yeah. But not if you're just, that's going to be your focus. Right. And see, this is the way that Christians live so often, is they live focused on things. Listen, if you're living in poverty and you're looking at just making ends meet, you are no less covetous than somebody standing in the jewelry store window looking at some $1 million necklace. Yeah. You're no less covetous than someone who demands more money, because you're doing the same thing. We need to believe. We need to know. So much so that nobody can take it from you that God wants to provide for you. And it is not wrong. I say this before and I'll say it again. I remember one time I went with my pastor. He had just bought it was a new to him vehicle. It wasn't brand new at the time, but it was a newer, his first night's vehicle. He was able to get one. Amen. It was a nice truck, and it had nice leather seats in it and everything. As I was driving away, I drove him there. It was before service to pick it up. As I was driving away, the Lord spoke to me, and He said, and at this time, I was driving a little junker. You know, not something, I mean, a couple $1,000 car, basically, you know, something that was just, you know, was constantly had to put money into and stuff like that. You know, and the Lord spoke to me as I was driving away, and he's like, it is a good thing that my people drive nice vehicles. He said, it's a good thing that my people drive nice vehicles. Well, praise the Lord. It ain't hard for me to get on board with that one. Amen. Especially when you've been driving a hunk of junk. When you've been driving something that one of those prayer project cars, you know what I mean? You pray that you get there and then you pray you get home. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? Something you were really some faith for just to get down the road. You know, I've had plenty of those cars. Amen. I remember one of my cars when I had an 82 Chevette, and that thing would go 35 miles an hour downhill with a good wind. Praise the Lord. If there was no obstructions, praise the Lord. And when I got to the bottom of the hill, I would hope that I would stop. I would be praying by the time we got down there that we would stop. And if we went around the corner, I would literally pray that people wouldn't fall out the car, because you know I did almost lose a few people a few times going around the corners. And that's not a joke, amen. We ended up having we took a coat hanger, drilled a hole through the roof of the car and took a coat hanger around. And that's how we kept the door closed. And I'm not even joking, amen. When I drove that car, I remember the windows rolled all up about that far, amen. And there was no heater that worked in the car. And I would get in that car, and we'd get in there in the wintertime, and it didn't have leather. It had the plastic. They didn't even do fake leather in that car. It was just plastic, amen. It was like you ever had like a Barbie car or something like that? You ever seen one of those with plastic seats? That's what my seats were like. And there would be that much snow on the inside of it. I'm just telling you the truth. Praise the Lord. It was not fun. It was not enjoyable. It was not a place. It got me from point A to point B, but we didn't get there fun. We didn't get there with a smile on our face. We were just happy. I mean, we were happy that we got there. Amen. But you understand what I'm saying? So you can come from a place like that, and you can know that God wants to provide for you. He doesn't mind that you go from point A to point B in style. In fact, he wants you to. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean, I'm not telling you to go out tomorrow and go buy a brand new. You got to know, this is why following the Lord is important, because he will bring you through steps. Your first car might not be nice, but your second car should be a little bit nicer, and your third one a little bit nicer. God will always take us to higher levels. Some people say, this stuff don't matter. Yes, it does, because it matters for God. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, my hair is extremely less important than the way I get around is. Especially in this area. Praise the Lord. You need to get around safe, don't you? You want to get around warm and stuff like that. Amen. I cut hair off and don't even think about it, but I think about my vehicle. So if God's concerned about my hair, I'm going to tell you he's concerned about what you drive. Now, I'm not preaching about cars. I'm just using illustrations to let us know that God wants to provide for us. He wants us to have nice things. In fact, the last vehicle that I bought, I wasn't even in the market for a vehicle. I wasn't looking to get a new vehicle. And the Lord spoke to me and said it. Praise the Lord. He said, it's time to go get a new vehicle. Glory to God. God will, he will tell us things like that. He will, you know, and again, it doesn't mean that you have to go out and buy a brand new vehicle. It doesn't mean that you have to have, you start where your faith is at. You understand? But we have to understand that God wants to provide for us. How about homes? The same thing with homes. You know, you can have, I've lived in homes. We lived in our house we had when we lived in Jamestown. Man, oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. When we got into that house, it took us 2 months when we moved in there when we got the house before we could move in. That was 2 months of working every single night and weekends too. Praise the Lord. Just trying to get this house to a place that was livable. Yeah. 2 months. Praise the Lord. And I had to move quick because we had a family and I couldn't afford two places. And so that's what we did. And we finally got in there. And even still, every single winter, we had frost in our living room. And it was ice and frost because the cold air would come. You could feel the air moving through the house from the outside. Amen. I'm just telling you the truth. I remember one night we came home and the electric had been out. And because my house was so uninsulated, when the electric had been out, it was such a cold night. It was a power storm, you know, and the power went out and the temperature dropped in the house. Well, we had electric heat in the house, but because the house was so inefficient, we couldn't get the heat back up. And so I turned on the oven, praise the Lord, and had the door open just trying to get some more heat in the house. You understand what I'm saying? But God didn't mean us to stay there. God, you know, when we sold that house, it was a blessing. It was a blessing to be able to sell it and to take it from what it was and to where we sold it. Now, of course, the place we live now is much, much nicer than even that. What is God will bring you into nicer things if you follow him. God wants you to be provided for. So stop focusing on it. Stop worrying about it. God wants to provide. God is a provider. One of his names is God the Provider. Jehovah Jireh. Lord, you are my provider. So what do? When you start getting into situations, when you start getting into trial, when you start looking at things, you're like, how are we going to get through this? Lord, you are my provider. You are my provider, Lord. I know that you're taking care of me. I know, you know, praise God. Hallelujah. And of course, living right is important too. Amen. We got to make sure that we're living right and following after God. But God wants us blessed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look up here and look what Leviticus 26, 12 says. Praise the Lord. I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. Are you seeing a pattern here? God says, I will be among you and you shall be my people. It means something to be God's people. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, we have this thing. I have a little Instagram account, and I like to just when we're, you know, doing things, I like to post pictures or something. And I have a hashtag that I love to use. It's Michener Adventures. Hallelujah. I use hashtag Michener Adventures whenever my family and I are out doing something. It can be something little. It doesn't matter. I mean, we can go to the store and I can put Michener Adventures. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But what does it symbolize? It symbolizes what me and my people do.
Yeah.
Amen. There's something like, and there's people that have talked about it a few times and talked to us about it. And they know when they see the hashtag Michener Adventures, they know that there's, you know, there's something going on. We're doing something. There's something, it talks about us. They know that we're off doing something else again. You know what I mean? We're out doing whatever, being blessed. Hallelujah. But there's something that symbolizes my people, God's people. He says, I will walk among you and you will be my people. Hallelujah. There should be a hashtag for being God's people. Amen. That we should walk around and be proudly carrying. Amen. Because God loves to provide for us. This is a earmark of what God, of if you're walking with God or not. Listen, when I wasn't walking with God, I had no provision. But now that I walk with God, I have provision. You say, well, what's your provision? What my provision is doesn't matter. My provision doesn't concern you. Right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't need to preach what my provision is. I don't need to preach all of what God is doing in my life. I do share things, you know, as illustrations. But what I'm saying is I don't need to preach every single thing, and neither do you. All we need to do is live in it.
Yeah.
I said we need to live in it. But you know what a lot of Christians are doing? A lot of Christians, they take this socialist garbage mentality that's being pervasive out there in the world today, and they try to bring that in the church, and they start getting mad. Well, why do they deserve that? Why do they deserve? Listen, you don't know what someone else is sowing. Don't you question what somebody else has. It isn't any of your business what somebody else has. It isn't any business what you're doing. Look around you. Look at your neighbor. Praise the Lord. Somebody look at their neighbor. See that person that you're looking at? It's none of your business what God blesses them with. Amen. You should be excited for them. In fact, I love this. It was told to me recently. I love how it was put. Let's see if I can remember exactly. But it was that you qualify for receiving by how you rejoice when somebody else receives what you want. You qualify yourself or don't qualify yourself. You can disqualify yourself the same way. Oh, yeah, people love to look at other people and say, well, why don't I? See, if you just follow God, he'll lead you into provision. Because God is looking to lead you.
Yeah.
He's looking to lead you.
Yes.
You see, that's the problem. You're focused on somebody else,
yeah. And
God's looking to lead you, but he can't lead you because your eyes aren't on him, they're on someone else. They're looking at what somebody else has. And see, this is a problem. This is a problem in the body of Christ because God wants to provide for you, but he wants it to be between you and him. He doesn't, listen, you don't need to look at what someone else has to know what God wants to do in your life. All you need to do is get into the Word. What's blessed you exceedingly or making you fruitful? What does that mean to you? Well, praise the Lord, it means something different to everybody else. Amen. There's people in here that be blessed by things. I get them and I'd be like, what's this? I don't want this. You ever got something that somebody else loves and you just like to throw it away? Ever happen? Praise the Lord. That's like me and my wife. You take us out to dinner. Plop a big old nice steak right down in front of me. I'll tell you what, I'll smile. She wouldn't. She'd throw it away. She'd feed it to the dog before she'd eat it. Why? Because she don't like steak. You might think she's crazy, but you give her, you know, a big old piece of broccoli, she'd be happy. Well, maybe not. It'd be something else she likes. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, there's things, God isn't, we're always focused on everybody else. We're always focused on everything else. Listen, I don't mind looking at somebody else for testimonies.
Yeah.
You know, it's good to look at somebody else's testimony and say, you know what? I believe because God's doing it there that he'll do it. I mean, that's good. That's right and good.
Yeah.
But see, so many people are focused on what everybody else has and what everybody else should do and shouldn't do.
Yeah.
You know, you should have this. Or, you know, why do they do this? Oh, how do you know how God's leading them? Why are you judging that? It ain't your business.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We'll just clean some stuff up. Amen. And I don't mean in this church, we have a great, great group. I don't think anybody in here is looking at everybody else going, oh, why are you getting blessed? In fact, anything in here I've seen people rejoicing. But you understand it's out there and we don't need to get part of that. We don't need to be part of that. God wants to bless us. Amen. I will walk among you and be your God and you shall be my people. God's our God and we're his people.
Right.
Your neighbor isn't your God.
Right.
Praise the Lord. but you are God's people. So look to him. Look to him. Stop looking. See, this is what the devil does. He gets us. He either gets us looking at what everybody else has, or he gets us looking at what we don't. He gets us looking at one of the two things, and both of those things are a distraction from where they need to be. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, this is a problem. You know, Jesus, I love using the example of Jesus because so many people, they think wrong about it. But the reason they think wrong about it is because Jesus didn't flaunt it. In other words, Jesus wasn't going around saying, look at the seamless robe I have. He didn't say that. Yeah, look at that. You know that Jesus had a very expensive robe that he walked around in. Well, that preacher, why does he wear that suit? Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, Jesus had a nice suit for the time. That's what it was. It was a really nice suit. So much so they didn't even want to tear it and have a piece of it. You know that? There was a famous building that I liked that was torn down, designed by a famous architect. And we found the site, and at the site there was a little chunk of brick. I was happy just to have a chunk of the brick. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of people that will collect just little bits and pieces. Amen. Yeah. But they, so a piece of Jesus's robe. How many know that'd be valuable?
Yes.
It would be, right? If you had a certificate of authenticity signed by Gabriel or Michael himself. Hallelujah. You know, them angels that go around signing certificates of authenticity for artifacts that Jesus had. I don't know, the Pope and the Catholics know all about that. They got, you know, they got connections to all that they know that, you know, because they got pieces of the cross and the thorn. If you don't know what I'm talking about, well, praise the Lord. We'll just move on from there. But if you had a piece of Jesus' robe, you had a thread from Jesus' robe, and you had a certificate of authenticity signed by Michael himself, glory to God. Glory to God. How many know that you could sell that on eBay for a few bucks?
Yeah.
You could probably retire for what you could sell one little thread for.
Yeah.
They knew that back then when they crucified Jesus. They knew because he was a superstar. I'm not talking about Jesus Christ superstar. That's a different thing, I think. But, you know, he was a superstar. He was well known. Amen.
Yeah.
Everybody knew who Jesus was. Good or bad, they liked him or didn't like him.
Yeah.
They knew who he was. And so a piece of his robe would have been worth it. But those guards, they wouldn't tear it into pieces because it was that special. Amen. At the way that, well, praise God. Hallelujah. And see, Jesus didn't go walk around talking about, you know, how much he paid for his robe or how much this or that was. Amen. But what he did do is he did show us that God always provided everything. Jesus had provision everywhere he went. He never went without. He never lacked. He always had enough. He always had more than enough. Actually, I love the account of the bread and the loaves. Of course, we always talk about that and we focus on that. But you notice what I've never heard religious people do is focus on what was left over.
Yeah. Right.
Do you remember that? The Bible said that they had to go and pick up the scraps, and there was baskets full of leftover that they were going to throw away.
Yeah.
You know, things that were, because they didn't have preservatives back then like we do now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They didn't have refrigerators. They were going to go put them in. They were going to throw them away.
Yeah.
Oh, praise the Lord. It was leftover. See, when you walk with God, there'll be leftover.
Yeah.
There should be leftover, amen? But Jesus, see, people say, well, Jesus was poor. They think he was poor because he didn't flaunt it. But just because if you look at the scripture and read about it, you understand that Jesus never lacked anything.
Yeah.
It was impossible he was in poverty. Impossible.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Praise the Lord.
So
besides, a man could walk on water. I would imagine that if he could walk on water, that there wouldn't be a whole lot that was kept from him. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. He said, when the devil tried to tempt him, he said, turn those rocks into bread. It wouldn't have been a temptation if Jesus couldn't have turned the rocks into bread.
Yeah.
Jesus knew he could have turned the rocks into bread. He knew he could have.
Yeah.
That man didn't lack anything. People talk about how Jesus walked around poor, you know, and all ripped up clothes and all of a sudden, except they wanted to keep his robe. Oh, praise God. And they went on to tell us in the scripture that the robe, they wanted to keep it because it was so nice.
Yeah.
Well, praise God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Oh, glory to God. Well, see, Jesus didn't mind wearing it.
Right.
Hallelujah. You know, there was a saying or there was a song I remember hearing once. It said, would Jesus wear a Rolex? Amen. And it was kind of a parody on how, you know, certain Christian evangelists and stuff like that on TV. And they have all expensive rings and jewelry and all this stuff and saying, would Jesus actually ever do that? But I answered that pretty honestly. I believe he would have.
Yeah.
Or something nicer.
Yeah.
Why? Because it didn't bother him.
Yeah.
Jesus wasn't moved by how expensive things were, how expensive. Remember the woman that come and dumped the perfume on him?
Yeah.
You realize, you know, listen, I bought cologne before. I don't wear it all the time, but I have a couple bottles of cologne, and nice cologne isn't cheap. You know what I mean? But I've never just dumped a whole bottle of cologne on my head. You know, you don't go buy a $70, $80 bottle of cologne and dump it on your head. Amen. You get as much out of it as you can. You know, people pull the straw. They use that when they get down low and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? But we understand that there's cologne, and it's not uncommon. I mean, there's a whole industry of colognes that cost that and much, much more. Amen. I mean, I've personally seen, excuse me, perfumes and stuff into like at the store into hundreds of dollars, and I'm sure it even gets higher than that. But we hear that in the account of Jesus, when that woman anointed his head with the oils and stuff like that, wasn't it like a year's wages? It was like it was so valuable, and he dumped it out. Jesus wasn't moved by that. See, we get moved by things that Jesus didn't even, I mean, it just didn't even matter to him.
Yeah.
Because what's that? And somebody said, well, and they even said there, they said, that could have been sold and the money given to the poor. Socialists.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you the truth. That's exactly what it was. It was that same devil spirit was going on back there. 2,000 years ago, ain't nothing new under the sun. They were socialists. It could have been, you could have sold that and give it to the poor. Well, if you just follow God, you wouldn't have to be poor either. If you just follow God and you just believe the word, you don't have to be poor either. Oh, I'm probably ticking somebody off. We get comments on Facebook. But yeah, this is you out there pointing to the Facebook. Praise the Lord. You watching that Facebook. Listen, if you don't like this, I'm just telling you, you don't know your God and you don't know my God. And but I'm telling you something. If you want this, then you better find out who the real God is. Because the real Jesus, the one that was actually here, he wasn't afraid of wasting. He was a more than enough God.
Yeah,
praise the Lord. You know who your God is? I don't know who your God is. I know who my God is. My God's more than enough. There's people get offended about this. I was told here in this church one day, you know, maybe you should preach about that kind of stuff, you know, because people might not like that. Good. I don't care if people don't like it. I love that it stirs up doubt. I love that somebody gets mad about it. You know why? Because it's the truth of the word, and if you don't like it, that's your problem, not mine.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm not gonna balance my message according to what might make you mad and what might make you happy. Heck no, I'm following the Lord here. Glory to God. I'm following what the Word says. Praise the Lord. God wants us provided for. He wants us full. He wants more than enough. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. I said he wants more than enough. More than enough. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But why does he want us to? Why does he want us to know this? When this does go somewhere more than just finances. See, if you're listening, there's more to this than just material things. He wants you to know that he wants you to have more than enough, so you never think about it. So you're not focused on it. Just don't think about it. He wants us to be so sure of it that it's not even a thought. Praise God. You know, when I have my full gas tank, when I just fill up my gas tank, I don't think about gas at all.
Right.
In fact, I don't think about it at all until I get in there and see that the needle's way down. You don't think about something when it's empty, or you don't think about it until it's empty.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. When I'm full, I don't think about it. Praise God. Yeah, absolutely. I don't think when I can feed myself, I don't think about how I'm going to eat.
Right.
I just go where I want to go.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? When I'm hungry, when it's time to eat, I go where I want to go. Why? Because I know that it's provided for. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, we have a thing in our house. You go to the cupboard, you open the cupboard or open the fridge, and you look in there and you go, man, we ain't got nothing to eat. But you know you do. You know, you just don't have something that you want. You can have a cover full. I have a cover full of food and still go to the store to buy something that I want. Listen, we aren't living in poverty, and we're not going to live in poverty. Why? Because my God is a more than enough God. He's an overflowing God. But listen, I don't sit there thinking about the groceries all the time. I don't think about it. Amen. I don't think about how it's going to happen. You know, I will go to the store and buy something I want that I don't need just because I want it. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you? I'm talking about a bag of chips. I'm not necessarily talking about, you know, that I got this 1,000-count thread on my bed, and so not that I'm against that kind of stuff or whatever, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, we all do this, right? How many people, just like you stop at the gas station, and get gas, go in, you get a bottle of water, you get a pop, you get maybe a candy bar, you get a bag of chips or something like that, some snack mix, you know what I mean? You didn't eat all that, but you got it. Praise the Lord. Why? Because we live in America, darn it. Yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. And that's the way Americans live. Praise the God. Praise God. We live in more than enough. Pray. I tell all the time, I love listening to Americans whine and cry about not having. Oh, I love it. Because, I'm going to tell you, I've been to a third world country. You be a third world country, you won't ever complain about not having anything. Ever again. Because there's no comparison. The poor in this country are fat. You know what I'm saying? I said the poor in this country are fat. Why? Because God had his hand in this country. There is no lack when you follow God. This country was built on the principles of God. That's why this country looks a lot different than other countries look. That's why we're also a little bit spoiled. Amen? Praise the Lord. But I'll be spoiled. I want to be spoiled. Hallelujah. I don't mind being spoiled. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Do we turn to Matthew yet? No, I got to go. Man, you get me all talking like that. Matthew 6:25. We got to go here real quick. We're going to see. But it's clear where we're going. Matthew 6:25 through 34. Hallelujah. This is Jesus talking. Remember that guy with that preacher with that expensive suit on? Yeah, that's who's saying this here. Hallelujah. Oh, that preacher, he got all that suit and all that perfume and stuff and the oil and all the people following him, big traveling show. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's who Jesus was. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? He is not saying just walk around naked. No, because listen, if you're walking around naked, I'm telling you, if you're walking around naked, you have never been to, where are we, Northeast Pennsylvania or Western New York? You've never lived there if you say walk around naked and don't worry about what you're going to put on. Because I'll tell you what, there's days here that we do get concerned about what we're going to put on. We start layering up and we don't stop until we can't move. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, maybe if you lived in Southern California, you could get away with this for a time. Although I see they got some snow too this week. But praise God, you know. That Jesus isn't saying that you just don't ever. No, what he's saying is don't be concerned about your life. Yeah. Praise God. Don't worry about where it's coming from. Yeah. Look at the birds of the air. And this is where it goes on to tell us. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? I would say the answer is yes, right? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Jesus is talking about how nice it looks. He was saying, look at how beautiful God made the lilies. You see, this is the problem. This is the problem. People say, well, God wouldn't want you to have that, or God wouldn't want you to look this way, or God this, or God that. Listen, Jesus used the example of how beautiful he made flowers and compared it to the way that we dress. I'm just telling you the truth right here. Is that not what's happening right here? He said even Solomon didn't look as nice as these. And God provides for them, and yet you worry. Don't worry about it. Amen? And yet, praise God. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles, or the people that don't know God, after all these things, they seek it. Because they don't know God. That's what it's saying by that. The Gentiles were not God's people. He's saying this is what the Gentiles look like. Don't do what they do. Don't worry about what they worry about. You're a child of God. It's different for you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. When was the last time we woke up and said, you know what, it's different for me because I'm a child of God. When Satan tries to throw that worry or the lack tries to come in, it's different for me. I'm a child of God. It's different for me. I live by a different standard, devil. Praise the Lord. When I lived in the world, I didn't want nice things. You know why I want nice things now? Because I'm a child of God, and that's born into me. God made things beautiful. God made things. You know, gemstones and stuff like that, all those high-value things. Who do you think made those pretty? God made those pretty. He made diamonds shine. You didn't. It wasn't the devil that came up with the idea of diamonds or topaz or tiger's eye or some other sapphires or emeralds or any other rubies. Praise the Lord. Just name them. God, or the devil didn't make gold pretty. The Bible said that God put the gold in the earth and he made it good. He put the silver and then he said it's all mine. The gold and silver is his. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Why are we so worried? See, this is the thing. We focus on the wrong stuff. We focus on, well, I don't know why they need that. See, you're focused on stuff again. You're not focused on God. See, if you're focused on God, you'll never ask why somebody else needs something. You just, like, be happy for them that they got it. Praise the Lord. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Yeah. Clothing like lilies. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm dressed like lilies.
Yeah. Amen.
No, I'm not. I'm going to dress like some kind of man. What's a man flower? Give me a man flower to dress like. I'll dress in like furs and stuff. Not fur, you know, like tiger skin or something. I don't know. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. I'm trying to reflect back here. I ain't going to really wear tiger skin, but you know what I'm saying. Praise God. Hallelujah. God wants us dressed nice. Yeah, he didn't put those nice coats on tigers just so they could wear them. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. So some of you got distracted there for a second, but no, God, I'm not just saying that tigers were made pretty so we can wear them, but you know, it doesn't hurt either, does it? Amen. Well, there's somebody to be mad at me about that too. Praise God. But I'll tell you what, you know, they all talk about indigenous people and stuff like that. If we went back and lived like they live, you'd be happy for a tiger or something that you could shoot and kill so you could put it on you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Nobody gets mad at them for wearing them, but, well, praise God. Seek after first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Why does God tell us all this stuff? He tells us not to worry. You get me on these rants. I don't know. Praise the Lord. It's not the politically correct church in town, but God gives us all these nice things. He gives us all. He told us to not worry about all this stuff. So our focus is on him. It's all about him. Amen. We're getting close to ending here. Praise the Lord. Ezekiel 36:28 says, "Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God." And we see this again. We see this all through Scripture. There's many Scriptures that say this. I'm going to be your people. You're going to be my people. I'm going to be your God. Why? Because I am the God who provides. Yeah. And then each time he does it, he's talking in reference to provision. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now turn with me to Hebrews 8:10. And this is where we're closing. Promise you. We're there. We made it all the way to the other side. Hallelujah. Hebrews 8:10. I don't know. I don't know about you, but I done preached myself happy tonight. Praise the Lord. I'm going out of here with new perspective myself. Amen.
Right.
Hebrews 8:10-11. "For this is a covenant that we'll make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord." This is in reference to us. "I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." We see this again, right? "None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them." God says that we are to know him. He will put his laws on our hearts. He'll write them on the inside of us so we can know God. We don't need somebody to teach us that God is good. We need to just know that he's good. Amen. We need to retain this knowledge. We need to retain this knowledge that God is good and that God is our provider and that God wants us to have more. He wants us in more. He wants us to live more. He wants our lives to be abundant lives, not fearful, dreadful, hurt lives. He wants us to be full. Amen.